Our readings today take a look at many of the same things last week's looked at. Last week was in the theme of living water. This week it is in the theme of sight and blindness, light and darkness, seeing as human sees versus seeing as God sees. In our first reading, we heard from the prophet Samuel. Saul had been rejected by God because he had disobeyed him. And so Samuel is sent off to find a new king. And he's sent to the family of Jesse, from whom God has chosen the new king. One of his sons would be selected. So Samuel goes off and tells Jesse to bring his sons to a sacrifice, to a celebration. And so Jesse, one by one, sends his sons through. And Samuel, one by one, oh, this is him. The first one comes in, the oldest, very fine appearance, lofty stature, all of these things that we would look for, humanly speaking. And Samuel says, oh, that's him. But no, he's rejected. The next one, the next one, the next one. All seven of them. All of them rejected. So Samuel turns to Jesse. Is this it? No more? And Jesse says, well, yeah. There's the runt. There's the one who isn't even worthy to come and see this distinguished visitor. There's the one who's out tending the sheep, doing the job of a slave. Barely even a son. And Samuel says, we will not start our celebration until he comes. And so David comes in front of him there. This is him. God looks beyond the human and sees the heart. This young man is the one that God has chosen. The one who is least fit, humanly speaking, for the role of king is the one who would be king forever. This ability to see is also the theme of our gospel. The man in our story is born blind, more than a physical blindness. There's also a spiritual blindness. And that spiritual blindness is what we have as original sin. When Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan, take from the fruit of the tree and your eyes will be opened. It's not to receive from God, but take. Go and grab from that fruit in the middle of the garden. And so Adam and Eve believe him, and they go and they take the fruit and they eat it. And it's a story that we all know so well. But rather than their eyes being opened, their spiritual eyes are closed. They become blind. They can no longer see God. They can no longer see each other. They can no longer even see themselves in the truth. The disciples, they suffer from this as well. They've got these prejudices, these ideas that are already in their head. And so they come along and they see this man who was born blind. Lord, who sinned? Because for them to be blind was a punishment by God for sin. So who sinned? This man or his parents? Somebody had to sin. But Jesus says, no, it is neither. It is so that the works of God may be made visible. And then with spittle, with clay and water, he smears this paste on the man's eyes and tells him to go wash. And he is able to see. Familiar is this to our sacrament of baptism, where we are washed with oil and water, and that blindness of our soul is washed away, and we are able to see with the eyes of our hearts. The Pharisees, they see this miracle right in front of them, this man that had been born blind, and they refuse to believe. They refuse to see that miracle in front of their own eyes. And so they drag this man in front of them to question him. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He's an outsider. He's a lawbreaker. There is no way he is from God. And so we are going to refuse to believe. And that refusal brings them deeper and deeper and deeper into their own spiritual blindness. While the blind man now not only sees with his eyes, but he's able to see with his heart. He knows Jesus' name. And on further questioning, he now calls him a prophet. And then he stands up and says, no, he is a son. He is of God. And for this, he is tossed out. He's banished from the presence of the Pharisees. And Jesus hears this and he goes and he finds the man. He searches out for him, just like he has searched out for the woman at the well last week. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe? Basically, the exact same question that this woman asked last week. And Jesus answered, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And the man replies, "I do believe." And he worships. St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians puts this in this sense of movement from darkness to light, from sin to holiness. In baptism, we are healed of this spiritual blindness to become children of light. The blindness of a life of self-absorption, a blindness of a life just centered on the soul, on the self, on the ego, separating ourselves from God and His light. But we are called to a life of true light. "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." In Christ, we see and we live as a people with nothing to hide. We see the spiritual blindness all around us in our life every day. We see the darkness all around us. And we can see how these things cause us to make poor judgments, to make wrong judgments in the spiritual life. And they can cause us, like the apostles, to grasp on to those prejudices, to jump to conclusions. But so to avoid these traps, we need the light of Christ in the world. Just like we need physical light in order to be able to see clearly, spiritually we need Christ's light in our hearts that we may have a spiritual vision. Lent is a time of transformation. And just like the woman at the well last week was transformed when she encountered Christ, the blind man today is transformed as he encounters Christ. This time of Lent is a time for us to truly encounter Christ in our lives and to be transformed as well, to enable ourselves to be able to see. We can be like the Pharisees. We can refuse to enter into a conversion. We can refuse to see with the light of Christ for any number of reasons. It can be frightening. It can be very frightening because it means to let go of our prejudices, let go of our preconceptions, let go maybe even of an entire way of life that we've been living, and to enter into that life of Christ, to receive that spiritual waters of life, to let go of these things that are wrong. It's easier to be blind. Like the Israelite nation, they wanted to remain in Egypt. When Moses came and gathered them and led them out of Egypt, they got hungry. And they complained and they attacked Moses. And they got thirsty and they complained and they attacked Moses. And it didn't matter. Moses would pray and they got manna from heaven and they got quail dumped on them. And he went over because of their hardness of heart and he hits the rock and the water flows from the rock. And they're satisfied for a little while. But they continue to fall back into the attacking Moses, continuing wanting to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Even though they were slaves, it was what they knew. And they thought that they were being well fed. They thought that they were being taken care of. But they were being used and they were being forced into labor. And they were not being allowed to worship in the freedom of sons and daughters of God. For the man who gained his sight, it would have been easier to remain blind, to give in to the Pharisees, to join with the Pharisees in their attack against Christ. But he doesn't. In humility, he is open to the truth. "One thing I know. I was blind, and now I see." This is his answer. This is his new reality to life. Where will it lead? He has no idea. But he will not reject it. It leads to his being rejected by human sight, by the Pharisees. It leads to his being rejected by his own family. But it leads to Christ. "Do you believe?" "I do believe, Lord." This man received more than just his sight. Just as the woman at the well last week received more than just a bucket of water, they received faith and salvation, and they both became his disciples. Not an easy path for them. And to become a disciple is not an easy path for any one of us. Letting go of our pride, letting go of our ego this Lent, opening our eyes to see as God sees, not as humans see, we too can be transformed by His grace. Leaving our blindness behind, stepping into the light. Not knowing where the path is going to take us, but knowing our true final destination, one of salvation, where Christ is there, inviting, waiting, asking us this Lent, do you believe? And waiting for our response.